Hey, how's it going this week, everybody? Hope everyone's doing okay. And welcome to the show. Today's show is brought to you by Bare Knuckle Performance. Bare Knuckle Paul on Instagram. Bare Knuckle Performance Choppers. Nope, just BareKnucklePerformance.com. For all the badass FXR and Dyna parts and some killer tough chopper parts. This week is also brought to you by Zarkin Froods Magazine. For the spelling of that, you're talking Zarkinfroods. I don't know what the fuck it means. He told me once before. I did a podcast with him. Next week you'll hear him. And I think he explains it in that podcast. I don't really remember though. Either way, Google it. Who the fuck knows? Anyways, man, killer fucking chopper magazine. Real grassroots, ground level, underground, nitty gritty chopper scene, man. Check him out. Young kid out of Baltimore, Nick, who is starting up that magazine. And they're going to be dropping issue number 6 or 7. I forgot. Coming soon. Sorry about the info, but like you guys know, man, none of this is paid advertisements or anything like that, man. Just people and products that I think really could use a little bit of shout out, man. A lot of people don't really do that. They just like to talk about bad news. So hey, this week on Good News on the Crazy Gentleman Podcast. Zarkin Froods Magazine, man, check them out, if you're into the chopper scene. And this week's episode is also, fuck it, I'm gonna bring it to you, this could be a little sketchy, Benchmade Knives, man. I just got a new Benchmade in the mail today. I'm a big fan of Benchmade, killer American products, for a really good value, man. They just make a killer product for a great price, I think, for what you're getting. Check this thing out, man. This is also a manual open knife, not automatic or anything, man. Just, I mean, check that out, man. That's pretty killer. I don't know if you could hear that on the recording or not, but smooth, positive, killer products, Benchmade Knives. They don't need me for shit. That's a big company. This week is also brought to you by Chicken Fried Choppers on Instagram. You can check them out, Chicken Rick, Chicken Fried Choppers, and chopshit.com. As Loctite says, for all your stickers, pins, patches, hoodies, and goodies, check them out. But he also sells some killer chopper parts on there, too. Just beyond apparel and all kinds of fun shit. He sells some killer parts. I guess if we're going to mention Loctite, too, man. Check out my boys Loctite and Grease on the Low Life Chopper Podcast. That's definitely a better podcast than this if you're into choppers. But, you know, whatever. That's up for opinion, I guess, because I don't know. Whatever. I don't think this show's really gotten off the ground yet. Anyways, this week's guest is Chicken Rick from Chicken Fried Choppers, who's also a good friend of mine now. Met him a couple years ago, and this interview takes place at the Indian Larry Block Party back in September. I don't need to get into the ins and outs of why this podcast did not take off back then, but as you've noticed, a lot of these recordings are from late last year, and today's date is, well, you guys will be listening to this April 24th. I'm recording this on the 23rd, yeah, so anyways, long story why this podcast took a little while to get taken off, but anyways, Chicken Rick is the guest this week, and we're at the Indian Larry Block Party, and we are just shooting the shit, man, talking choppers and parts and his business and where he got started, and getting him out on the road, man, trying to take his first major road trip, and just, you know, I think it's a cool episode for people that are just getting into choppers and, you know, wanting to hit the road and wanting to build bikes and, you know, a little bit of inspiration and some good bullshit, man. Storytelling on this one. So, also, I got to apologize for the sound on this one. I had to kind of, like, edit little bits and clips out. I tried bringing a better experience to you guys. We recorded this literally on the street outside of the Indian Larry block party, and I thought it would be cool hearing the bikes and all that shit, but dude, there's times where it just got so loud I had to cut it right out, and then there's some other times where it's a little, you know, a little iffy or whatever. Some of you guys might really love it. Some good bike burnouts and shit like that, and some wheelies, but some of you guys might want to just fast forward through it. I kind of edited it down so that, like, you're looking at, you know, just a few seconds here and there, you know, tops 15 seconds, maybe 10 seconds of annoying noise. But anyways, man, I hope you guys stick through it till the end. And if not, just hit the little fast forward button. You know, what is it, like 15 seconds or whatever if you're listening on iTunes. I don't know if the other platforms have that, because that's where I listen to my podcast, is on the podcast app on my iPhone. But guys, I hope you enjoy this one. Stick it out to the end. There's a lot of funny material in there, and a little bit about my personal self too, that a lot of you guys might not know, that I don't really talk about in any of the other episodes so far. Hang in there. Chicken Rick.
Dude, what is going on, man? It's finally great to sit down with you.
Yeah, man. Been waiting a little while for this.
I don't stink or anything, do I? I've been doing hot laps around Indian Larry since probably about 10 a.m. And it's a warm one out here, you know? It's a little warmer than average, I'd say, so.
Yeah, I'm sweating my fucking balls off, man. To be honest, it's got to be in the 80s.
Yeah, oh, for
it's
sure.
Fucking hot, man.
It had to be great riding here, though. I mean, it was definitely, like, a little cool this morning. I drove because I'm a chump about it. I wasn't trying to die in New York City. You know, second big trip ever. And
dude,
then, you know.
Dude, as long as, this is the deal. If you're going to drive here, right?
Yeah.
Just pull the fucking chopper out on the street.
Uh-huh.
Take some pictures on the street.
Yeah.
Just for the gram.
Just for the gram.
Roll that fucking thing back in. And jump in the truck.
That would be the problem. All right, so check this out, right? I've tried to bring my bike places, and yeah. I bring the KZ a lot of places because that one's just fun to wheel out of the truck. I can do it myself. We go burn that thing around. You know, it's just a little tiny ripper. You know, it's fun in the grass. But I measured out my Softail, and I have a... What do I have? A Nissan Frontier? Yeah. It won't even fit in the bed, even diagonal. And it's like, it's only a 6-over. It's not like it's some crazy long chop.
Yeah, but
and
dude,
I'm like,
but
what
dude,
is this little thing?
Having a truck that don't fit your bike, that'll keep you honest, man.
That'll keep
you don't
you
got
honest.
A choice. You got to ride.
We hijack the Sprinter from work all the time, though. So, like, if you've ever seen me with, like, my booth set up somewhere, you know, like when we're doing some kind of show like that. I load the Sprinter up, and then I'll just sleep in the back of that thing. So,
okay.
So camping is new for me too, and I learned a lot of hard lessons about how to camp properly at the Gypsy Run.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, and the Gypsy Run, that was like a pretty easy one too, because the weather was good. That was like a good starter camp place.
Yeah,
like that weekend was a good starter weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't like too crazy cold to where, like, you know, there was like serious problems. It wasn't like how I heard Deadbeat was, where there was limited facilities. So at least there was like two full bathrooms, you know? You weren't shitting in the woods or anything like that.
Well,
so.
speak for yourself. If you wanted to shit in the woods, you could shit in the woods.
You could shit in the woods. You'd probably run into somebody else who was shitting in the woods.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like a good, you know... Hold someone's hand session while you're shitting in the woods, man.
Dude, it's got to be authentic, you know? You got to do it real deal,
have
you
a
know?
Good heart-to-heart while you're shitting in the woods.
I definitely had a good couple heart-to-hearts with people as the night went on, but...
Yeah,
it was a long one for sure.
There was something special in the air at that one. That was a pretty fucking cool weekend, man.
Yeah, it was a blast, you know? Like, I've been to a couple events now. Well, you know, more than a couple... My good fair share of events.
Tell people how long you've been riding, and give people
So give people a little background quick on you before.
Okay, so I'm kind of new to this game, and I'm not really good at anything, you know. So this whole thing is just kind of like a giant juggling act of, like, you know, wherever we are now and whatever today's going to bring. So I started riding because it's kind of a long story, but I had a fire truck. I was like a stupid kid purchase. I was like, I'm going to buy this thing. We're going to drive around. It's going to be fun. I'm going to have it for a summer.
I hope you're not done doing like stupid kid purchases.
Oh, no. Like, oh, no.
I mean, the internet is your oyster,
man. Oh, absolutely. You know, I've always had my ear to the ground for dumb shit that I absolutely don't need.
Yep.
But
sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. So I had that thing. It was 1976. It was a Ford L900 535 cubic inch 8-cylinder. It was gas. And had that thing. And then I was so worried about it breaking down and, like, how am I going to afford to fix this thing? You know, it was 25 feet long. It was huge. And it took up my whole driveway. So I threw it on Craigslist. Somebody traded me a 2000 Road King. It had 105,000 miles on it. I've never ridden a motorcycle, and I was just like, yeah, I could just keep that in my garage, and then I'll just flip it in the spring for something else that I want. And then I literally YouTubed how to shift it, pulled it out of my driveway, like, shaky, learned how to drive it, and then just... Yep, we ride motorcycles now.
You fucking literally YouTubed how to shift a motorcycle.
Yeah, because I've never done it. You know, I've shifted a car, so I understood, like, how the clutch worked.
Right.
But I didn't know the shift pattern or anything for a bike.
Dude, that's the craziest fucking starter story I've ever heard.
Yeah, my cousin actually drove by. He lives next door to me, and he was with his boss. And his boss is like, your cousin doesn't look so good on that motorcycle. And he's like, I don't think he's ever ridden a motorcycle ever. And I had it. You know, I didn't grow up... I wish I grew up with, like, dirt bikes and or, like, a quad or something, but it was just... We always had mini bikes. You never had to shift them, and I knew that I loved doing that. I knew I loved gasoline-powered anything, but I just... My parents would never let me have a dirt bike.
Right. Well, you made up for it as the neighborhood nightmare as an adult, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, you gotta go on Rick's Instagram, Chicken Fried Choppers, and watch the videos of him shredding across his neighbor's lawns on his fucking, on that KZ.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking hilarious, man.
Oh, dude.
Those fucking videos are fucking hilarious.
Dude. Back in, like, the party days heavy, I've only crashed a motorcycle while I've been completely wasted, you know, like, driving across grass medians in our town and stuff. And, like, dude, it's so bad. And, like... I have to stop because, like, if I'm going to keep riding motorcycles, there's no way. Because, like, I can't have, like, one beer, you know. I need to have, like...
All the beers.
All of the beers, you know. We're not slowing the bus down for a little, you know, I have to ride home on my motorcycle. You know, that thing's getting fucking wide open. But, yeah, you know, just crashing in my driveway, you know, everything. I crashed into a guardrail, and I just totally smoked that poor Road King so many times. But
I don't think you could say...
She couldn't kill it.
No, dude,
it was
Road
unkillable.
Kings, they're not killable. What year did you say that one was?
A 2000.
So, the first of the twin cam.
Yeah.
Yeah, good 88, man.
Yep. Yeah, it was EFI, and then I crashed it, and then I converted it to a carb, so I had a carb set up. I used a Dyna harness. It just bolted right up. It was so easy.
Oh, shit.
And, yeah, it was a blast. I, like, turned it into a bobber, and then I did, like, the extended bag thing for a while, and then I smoked it, and then it went back to pretty much just another bobber piece of shit, and then I sold it.
Nice.
After,
man.
I bought the Softail.
I'd like to see some pictures of that when it was all chopped up.
Oh, dude, it was a dream machine, let me tell you. I had one of
I
those,
wish you guys,
like,
could have seen the expression on Rick's face when he said a dream machine.
It was shot to shit. I made, like, my first sissy bar on that thing. You know, it's made out of, like, quarter-inch square stock.
Right.
So it just flapped like a diving board, you know, so you're going down the road. And you have, like, a foot of modulation on this sissy bar. And
yo, when you start chopping bikes, isn't it fucking hilarious when you look back on your history of, like, what you did when you started? Like, you're just like, what the fuck was I thinking, man?
Dude, I feel like that about my bikes now. Like, why do people follow my page? You know, all these things are, like, shit missiles.
No,
you
dude,
know?
This new build you got going on is fucking rad. It is your Mona Lisa so far, man.
Dude,
That's a fucking cool bike.
I got it for free. It's a XJ 650 shaft drive, so nobody wants it. Mm-hmm. I just bought a second one for, you know, just to have, like, a backup and to have parts. Right. Paid $100 for it to, like, get it out of this dude's driveway.
Right.
So it started out, somebody was like, you could have this bike for free. Yep. A12 Inc. in Jersey.
Yep.
He calls me up. He's like, Rick, we got this bike. You know, you need a project. I know you need a project. So I got this bike. It's for free. You could have it. It was actually Dusty New Jersey's bike that he drove, like, across the country a couple times.
Okay.
So then I ended up with it. And then he's like, you could have it for free, but you have to do something wild with it.
Right.
So I was like, all right, you know, challenge accepted. Let's see what we can do with it. So from there, I learned how to, like, do some frame fabrication. So
dude, some frame fabrication.
Yeah.
You cut that thing right in half.
Dude, yeah.
And we're
went,
like, here we go, man.
In half. So I extended the backbone on it, like, probably about 10 inches. It went down an inch, and then it got a 40-degree rake.
Okay.
So I somebody let me borrow a shovel head frame jig. So this bike, to fit in the jig, had to be long. So I didn't really have much of an
option. It wasn't an adjustable fixture.
It wasn't.
Built for the way that guy built that bike. So you had to go with those same dimensions.
It was like a purchased shovelhead specific frame jig.
Okay.
So he was chopping shovelhead frames and hardtailing them and everything. And this was like a frame jig that was like made for that from a company.
Okay.
So I basically built this XJ with shovelhead proportions. But there was just like a lot of funky ass shit about it, because, you know, like, it's a shaft drive chopper, so, like, locating the center of the frame in the back with the shaft drive on it, there was, like, no perfect center point on it. So you kind of had to, like, do a lot of figuring to make sure that that thing was straight.
Right.
A lot of, like, laser levels and stuff were used.
How good do you feel about how true that frame is now?
I think I got real fucking lucky.
Okay.
is the truth. So
okay.
I feel like that I had no idea when I pulled it off.
Yeah.
And then when I pulled it off, it's pretty much there, you know. I don't think it's gonna be too sketchy.
Cool.
So what I did was I put a Harley neck on it when I chopped it.
Right.
And the reason for that was I wanted to be able to run a Harley front end, because that was just going to make my life so much easier.
Just
1-inch stem.
Yep.
You know, I could kind of do whatever I want. So I ran the 8/35mm iron head front end off it.
Okay.
So it's super long.
Weren't iron head front ends the 7/8-inch stem, though?
Yeah, so what I did was I used shovel trees.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's like, yeah, just get shovel trees or 1-inch stem, so
yep,
you're perfect. Still 35mm, still narrow guide.
Yep.
So my original plan was is that it's a shaft drive. It's got that goofy-ass rear wheel on it that's like a spiral pattern.
Right.
And I was like, fuck it, I'll just run these weird spiral wheels on it. It already looks like some freak machine, so
yeah,
what's the difference?
That thing literally looks like an acid trip from the 60s.
Yeah. It's shot.
Yeah.
But when it hit the ground last week, the narrow glide is actually the exact size of the hub that's on the original Yamaha front wheel. So I don't have any room for spacers, so I'm gonna have to switch the front wheel. Like, it's not gonna work.
Okay. Well, you get into a lot of shit of milling down the center hub.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of clearance you got for tires, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You're not running any front brakes, right?
No, which is makes it a lot easier, too, so I don't have to worry about. I already have the lower shaved, Old Man Motor shaved the lowers up for me.
Nice.
So it's looking pretty nice up front, but I think it's going to just get a spoolie, you know, just off of, you know, like a relatively same ear shovel or iron head and just run it.
And keep the same rear wheel.
So that's the other thing. This whole thing is just like a mosh posh. So it's insanely expensive to get a spoke rear wheel for that bike. Like, two model years ever of, like, different Yamahas had it.
Okay.
And everybody knows they're rare, so they're a shit ton of money. And they're on a 15-inch rear wheel.
Oh.
So if you want to run it with a 16-inch, you have to chop the hub out, get this weird-ass hub. It's like a, you know, just like a whole other project. And I'm trying to keep this on, like, a relative budget. So I'm not going to be going that route yet.
Yo, Yeah, we should have. I wish we could have parked by like some of the cooler choppers. There's some cool ones over here, but
yeah, there's a couple.
I mean, if we did, the show would have just been totally fucking destroyed.
Yeah, we would have been way too close.
Yeah, dude, I mean, there's burnouts and everything going
great.
Down.
It's great. If you look straight down the alley there, about two blocks over, it's just a plume of white smoke.
Yeah.
Because it must, like, the stunt show must be starting up, so.
Yeah, if we got
lucky with the location.
Yeah. Yeah, if we had gotten any closer or on the other side of the party, it would have just been this show would have just been a sound recording of a fucking stunt show.
Yeah,
and
twin cams getting everything they got off the limiter.
Yeah, exactly. Twin cams off the rev limiter, and I mean, I hope there's like a connecting rod or two flying in the air today.
Yeah. Wouldn't be a show if there wasn't.
Right. But anyway, man, back on track here. Know what I want to know? What the story is with, what's the history behind the gas tank on that bike? It's like a pyramid style.
So that was the one single thing that I've spent money on so far. So okay. I got it like right after Arlen Nash passed away.
No shit,
God,
is that a Nash tank?
It's not. It's like a copy of him.
Okay.
But just because, you know, somebody passed away, then that becomes like the new hot thing. So
right.
I found it brand new. Somebody must have started reproducing them.
Right.
And it was for a good price. I think I paid like $175 for it.
Okay.
And if you look at the OG tanks, they go for like $300, $400, $500, $600. So
no shit.
I seen it, jumped on it, bought it pretty early. I think I jacked it up a little bit with my shoddy welding job, but
When you say that, what do you mean? Like, to put mounts on it and everything?
Yeah, so the tank, unfortunately, didn't come with any mounts to mount it. So what I did was I just fabbed up some mounts for it, drilled the holes, and I MIG welded it in because it's the only kind of welder that I have.
Okay.
So we did that. And because it runs in, like, that really angled fashion, what I'll probably have to do is I'll probably have to stack more material on top of it and then file it down so it ends in like a nice flat finish.
Right.
Because right now it's like a little concave for where I angle ground it. Okay. And it kind of like goes into that nice pyramid and then it kind of like scales right down into like a rounded part. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Okay.
Ideally, I think I would have mounted it from under, but what are you going to do now? It is what it is.
Right. What I used to do for a lot of people when I had my shop was people would bring to me a lot of things. Like a guy like you would just MIG weld, like just tack in the bungs or mounts that you need.
Oh yeah.
And then just bring it to a TIG welder.
Okay.
You know? Just a suggestion for anyone listening or you in the future.
Yeah, I'll just have to.
You know, but that does add to the cost too. Now you're paying a TIG welder.
Yeah.
You know? But
my whole problem is that, like, I love rushing things into the mock-up stage. So, like, the mock-up stage is where, like, all the glory is for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm out there, like, late nights, you know, trying to get this thing to the point of where I could see it as a roller. And then as soon as I see it as a roller, I slow the whole project down because it's just kind of like, hey, you know, I don't care as much.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not building it for any kind of deadline or anything, so I don't lose interest in it. But, like, now I'm waiting on, like, a seat, and I have to figure out, like, what I'm going to do for it.
Right.
But how I do that, right, I think I do this a lot weirder than anybody else. So I am definitely, I'm not a welder, I'm not a fabricator, like, I'm not a bike builder. All of my stuff, you know, like, you're literally on, like, the tour of me, like, through motorcycling. So everybody's still at the beginning right now.
We're at the ground level of Chicken Fried Choppers.
Yeah, I've been, like, riding for, like, only 3 years. I've been, like, trying to build, you know, my bikes for, like, a little over a year now. So we're not good at shit. But what I am, I feel like I'm pretty good at, is Photoshop.
Right.
So what I did was I took a picture of my bike as a roller from the side. And then what I could do is I am pretty good at, like, Photoshopping pictures to look kind of real.
Okay.
So what I've been doing is I've been Photoshopping fenders. I Photoshopped a motor in the frame. I Photoshopped handlebars on it.
And this is how you determine, like, the shape that you're going for and that look?
It's kind of like, instead of cutting everything out of cardboard and kind of, like, mocking it all together and coming up with an idea, I could save a lot of time and effort by just throwing it in Photoshop.
Roughly Photoshopping.
And, like, getting a pretty good idea of, like, what it could look like when it comes out.
We're not talking about, like, fancy artistic drawings like you'll see on, like, if you watch OCC, they got that artist in there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing
how to
like
do
that. You're
CAD.
Talking about rough shit that like anyone can do.
I'm talking just, about making rough. A fake picture of a motorcycle that looks good and then copying my fake picture.
Gotcha.
But what I can
and then,
do
and then before you know it, you got a fake motorcycle.
I have a fake ass chopper.
A fake ass chopper.
But what that really helps with, right? So I have a fake picture of my motorcycle
right.
that I'm aiming the build. Right. And what I could do is I could take a tape measure and measure my entire rear wheel.
Okay.
So I could say my rear wheel is 23 inches. And based on that calculation, I could take like a caliper or something, like a, you know, or any kind of measurement tool, and then measure out the fake fender that I photoshopped and say that fender, based off of the measurement on the rear tire, needs to be 16 and a half inches.
Okay.
So I could kind of translate it all over into measurements, and then I could cut those measurements out of cardboard, fit them up, see how it looks in real life. If it looks good, I'll make it out of metal. And
right.
it just kind of starts like this waterfall effect on like how I've been getting this done.
Okay. I kind of like that process.
Yeah, because right now I'm kind of torn in between, like, do I want to run like a trailer fender with a king and queen? Or do I want to run like one of those crazy prism, like crazy Frank style fenders, you know, where it, like it kind of matches the tank a little bit more.
Yeah, those crazy Frank ones are cool, man. I was talking, you know Fat Man, right?
Yeah.
Your friend's Fat Man?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I was talking to Fat Man last night on the phone, and that's what he's going to be running on his next build.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it just sounded so fucking rad.
Yeah, they really look really did. Cool. And
yeah.
like if you look at it, in my opinion, it's like relatively a simple fabrication job that just gives you such like a cool, unique look.
Yep.
And like I feel like that anybody who, you know, cuts metal themselves is like, I want to do that because it looks easy and it looks
yes.
so good, you know, like you have to give it a shot.
Yeah, and it's a great foundation for like a custom tail light.
Yeah.
It's killer, man.
Oh,
they really are killer.
Yeah, you
killer
throw your own little spin on it and, you know, you kind of make it yours and, you know, maybe I'll have a crazy Rick Frank, crazy Rick Fender
crazy
coming
Rick,
up here
man.
In the future.
Crazy Chicken Rick Fenders.
That's it, man.
Hey, do you think, besides like the apparel and the stickers and the patches and all that, you think you're gonna get into hard parts, like manufacturing
yeah.
or anything like that?
So I wouldn't be manufacturing because I know that that's my weakness. Like I can't
okay.
even make one-offs good enough to be able to sell a one-off. You know,
right, right.
so
well, I mean, you could find manufacturers to make your designs. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think a little chicken tail light would be fucking awesome.
Yeah. I seen on an Old Nest drag bike the other day where they had like a chicken foot.
We
like
might get a burnout here. We just had a Dyna fly by with a ripping burnout and a Sportster wheelie right past us.
Yeah, it's definitely
that was
a
fucking
ride.
That was cool. That Sportster was fucking getting it.
Dude, he was not.
I think here comes another man. In the spot for the stunt show practice.
Yeah.
This is the practice
pause
spot.
It?
No, I don't care.
Okay.
I couldn't give a shit.
So,
so yeah, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. So that's how.
Yeah.
I've been
you
doing
don't think
it.
You'll ever get into hard parts.
So I sell hard parts on the website now. So
no. I mean you actually getting into manufacturing.
Me making
your own
them?
Brand. Yeah, yeah.
Well, considering that we've gotten this far. With, you know, I have no idea how we even got here.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, like, if you told me that I'd be doing this, you know, a year and a half ago, I would have laughed at you.
Right.
So, I'm not saying that it's not a possibility in the future. I'm not necessarily planning to get there.
Right.
But if it happens, you know, I'm like, I just let this whole thing roll. So, whatever happens, happens. And if I meet a guy and get a job in a shop and, you know, start putting out parts that are worth people's time, then... Sure.
Right, right.
But for now, what I do is I kind of like, you know, supporting the little guy because we are the little guy too, you know? So if we meet somebody that we really like Old Man Motors, he's got his startup business making handlebars, pegs. You know, he's making a lot of stuff for himself. I'm like, how about you just make the stuff? I have the following, so I'll advertise it for you and we'll just work together and, you know, I... make a little cut out of it, of course, but
of course
it's just
yeah.
It's working out good, and it, you know, it's actually like letting me meet people more because I get to like kind of see their process. I get to work with these people more, so it's not, and like they could offer custom solutions for you, which is what I really like too, you know. So you're not, nothing against like Bitwell or anything, but you could only get that bar in one size.
Right.
Whereas like if you're working with this dude who's cool, you know, he could cut you up whatever you want, and you could either buy the, you know, the in-stock size off our website, or you could hit him up directly and he'll make you whatever you want. And it doesn't really matter either way to me, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of cool, man. I love the community. I love being a part of the community. You know, it's ever since like my first Cheap Thrill show, I came here. So 2 years ago, I came to Indian Larry. Right. And I was psyched. You know, I went out and got an Indian Larry tattoo right after.
No shit.
And then my first, like...
Oh, yeah, I see it right there on your arm.
I knew I was going for, like...
Got one on my back side,
too. That's awesome.
So, yeah, anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
I'll stop doing that.
We're just fucking hanging out, man. You know, this isn't... You know? You have no reason to be interviewing me, so I'm psyched that we're even sitting down, so... I knew that I wanted a chopper, you know, like I knew I wanted something in that direction. Like I've always loved that custom culture kind of thing. I've always like grew up in an area that had like the people growing up like financially were like significantly better off. So I had the S10 when everybody else had the new BMW in high school. So right. I've always tried to make something cooler than what they had that they couldn't have because they didn't make it.
Right.
Like that's always kind of been my philosophy. So whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's kind of where we're at. And I've always just tried to like do something different that looks cool and it's like respectable. And my dad's always been real hard on me to keep me honest, you know, like, yeah, that looks like total shit. And then I'll go cut it up because he's like, yeah, that ain't gonna work, kid. You know, you gotta try harder than that.
Right, right.
But,
Nah, there's no doubt that stuff that is built and not bought is just way fucking cooler. You can't beat it, man. You just can't.
Yeah, and I think
there's nothing that can replace that pride.
Yeah.
But it's just nothing.
Yeah, and as we like go along through this whole thing, and like I meet people, and I've seen a fuck ton of choppers, you know, like beautiful, you know, born free bikes all the way down to somebody who made it in their garage
to that pile of shit that we took a picture of on the way.
And
here.
Man, let me tell you, after doing
that thing was fucking hideous.
There's not enough money in the world for me to get on that thing. But
yo, Smitty. Yeah, we're literally out here on the streets in Brooklyn. Yeah.
But I think the coolest part about it is, like, the more you do it and, like, the more I dive into frame fabrication or welding or, you know, trying to make my own parts or whatever, you know, just, like, little one-off stuff, it's, like, you gotta respect the people who are great at this.
Because the guys that are really making a good living doing this.
Dude, like, pacing for full nights. Like, how am I even gonna make this simple thing happen, you know? And to watch people come out with these crazy builds on deadlines and just cook this thing up and it's nicer than anything that you'll probably ever make. It's like, man, there's just the level of respect of like how I looked at bikes 2 years ago versus how I look at bikes now is like a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah.
The things I pay attention to, you know, the way that you're able to analyze it and like kind of like reverse engineer how somebody did it. And it's like, how did you even fucking think of that?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I love it. Yeah. It's you would think that you would get bored of motorcycles after just staring at them for end on end for years on end. And there's always something new, you know. Somebody always tweaks your mind and it's like, you know, a whole new rabbit hole that you're diving down.
Yep. Yep.
And that's what I love about it. I really dig that.
Yeah. Yeah, the craftsmanship is like, I don't think it'll ever get enough respect, man.
Yeah.
The heart and soul and the time and everything else that guys put into building these bikes is just,
yeah,
it's intense, man. It's a real lifestyle.
Yeah,
It's not just, definitely. It's just not just a hobby. Like, no, I mean, you're like an example that it just sucked you right in, man.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's just full blown a disease, man.
From that first Cheap Thrill show that I went to, you know, I came here, and then that following winter, I went to Cheap Thrills, and I was like,
when you
next
say that
year,
first Cheap Thrill show, is that the one I met you at, or was, did I meet you at the second Cheap Thrills?
You
that
met
you went
me at
to?
The second one.
Okay.
So the first one I went to, I had my Softail Twin Cam,
mm-hmm.
and I already like had my idea of like how I could chop that. And it was, like, fresh out of the gate. You know, like, I just took every part off of it, you know, to get it down to the frame. I went to Cheap Thrills, and I was like, this is where I want to be. Like, this is where I want to be next year. I want to have a booth there. Like, I want to build a company between this year and next year and, like, be a part of this because, like, all of the people and, like, you know, like, you just feel like you're at home, you know? It's kind of like the land of misfit toys.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
All under one yep. roof. So the year that I met you there was me, you know, checking the box on that goal. So that was like, you know, I had the whole setup there. You know, I was meeting like a ton of people that we've been talking to over the past year. All the great folks from Jersey. So, yeah, it was like, it was a really great day.
That show is really cool. Do you plan on doing a booth again this year at that show?
Oh, absolutely.
I fucking love that show, yeah. man.
Dude, it breaks up the winter perfect. It's in February. Yep. You know, you're coming off of like that Christmas time kind of high of like things to look forward to in the winter.
Yeah.
Because like here, it's not getting cold yet, but it's going to be a long winter this year, I feel. My Definitely. Bones are telling me that we're going to be fucked. So, yeah, I'm definitely
You heard
pumped.
It first, man. Those chicken bones don't lie.
Chicken fucking bones. Yeah, so that's why I want to... I'm like, right now what I'm focusing on outside of, like, just the normal stuff that I do for, you know, CFC and ChopShoot.com, I'm really trying to get this bike in a place, because I only have a one-car garage,
okay.
of where I'm not going to need to spend much time outside in the winter as possible, you know?
Yeah.
I want to get, like, most of the fabrication stuff done. I want to get it all put together and in a place of where I'm doing, like, fine detail and adjustment.
Right.
So I could spend all weekend, I mean, all winter doing that. Get that thing up on a table. I don't need to go outside to, you know, sand a whole bunch of shit or do anything weird like that.
Do you plan on shooting the paint yourself on that bike?
I'm planning on shooting spray paint all by myself on that bike.
Hey,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
Hey, man, paint's paint, right?
Dude, my whole thing is, right, like, I've had some good paint quotes, like, priced on it, but, like, I feel like the final result on it isn't there yet for real paint.
Right.
And I feel like that it's going to be really hard to justify me spending real money to paint a bike that is valued at, like, $300, you know?
I gotcha.
Like, I really want to ride it. I want to, like, maybe I'll fall in love with it, and maybe that'll change.
Yeah.
But right now, like, I got to make sure that thing doesn't crack, you know? Like, there's got to be some, like, real good highway shakedowns to make sure that that thing's not just going to fall apart.
I think that's solid advice for, like, any new builder is don't fucking go wild with your coatings, your paint, your powder coat, your chrome.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be fucking rewelding. You're going to be replacing. You're going to be doing so much learning and fucking around with that bike.
Dude.
Even your first couple builds, man. Just keep it fucking spray can that thing. And run the fucking piss out of it. Just have fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
I
this
think,
is all about, man. Just have some fucking fun.
I think that's huge advice, because if you've seen where my Softail started, where it hit the middle point and where it ended now, like, I've welded on so many brackets.
Yeah.
I sand it, I weld it, I rattle can it.
Yep.
Rust-Oleum satin black, you know, that's my color.
Yeah.
That's the frame color, and, like, that lets you be flexible with it instead of, like, you shelling out a ton of money for paint on a custom part you made and then having to get stuck with it or having it be something that you're not entirely happy with. Like, they're a constant evolution, you know, all the time. Or you break something, you don't have to worry about, you know, sending it back out for paint or doing something like that.
Yeah.
I painted the rear... I had Weights and Paints, the homie, paint the rear fender on my Softail.
Yeah.
And, I fucked it up in, like, 2 weeks, you know? So I was talking to him about it, and he's like, yeah, dude, like, I'll repaint it. Like, just send it back. And I'm like, man, I appreciate the hell out of that, but it's not even worth it. Like, I'm sorry. But,
yeah.
Like, I'd love to have you paint it, but I know that this is going to change 3 times till Wednesday. So don't even stress about it.
You know what? One thing, like, if the tank is solid or whatever.
Yeah.
Holy fucking bunny rabbits. you guys wouldn't believe what just walked by. Four girls dressed like fucking bunny rabbits in fucking skirts with their asses hanging right out, clean out.
I don't think they have any idea of what they're walking into. I think that they're on this street accidentally.
Oh, no, they're not here for the block
they're
party.
They're not here for the block party.
they're here for, like, a bachelor party. Hi, we're here for the bachelor party.
The
and like
bachelorette party.
And, like, a dozen big, dirty bikers are going to suck those little bunny rabbits right up. But anyway, no, it is solid advice. And I'm a huge fan of this, man. When you just see, like, a down and dirty, like, a real proper chopper, and just the gas tank has a rad paint job on it.
Yeah.
Like, because you could, as long as you know that tank is solid and the mounts, everything is solid on that tank.
Yeah.
You could invest a lot of money in a paint job on a tank.
Sure.
And you could pretty much well care for a tank.
Yeah.
And destroy a bike around it.
Oh, yeah. dude, mine is a
totally
perfect example.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, like, you got a pretty rad tank on your bike.
Yeah, I have, like, that whole nightmare, you know, I photoshopped that and sent it over to Weights and Paints, and then he just image transferred it on. So I, like, photoshopped it, and then he, like, kind of color matched the green based off the sticker that, or whatever he used to image transfer it.
Yeah.
So it worked out pretty good. And I was pretty psyched about that. I love that tank with the green flames on it. But yeah, the whole bike is rattle can satin black, and the tank is the only thing that's nice. And even before I had my first tank that I ever got from Ronnie was, it was green. It had a ton of flake in it. You know, it kind of looked like an Easter egg. It was the 2.2 liter Axed is what I run on that bike. So both of them are that.
Yeah.
And then, he, like, must have turned the PSI down real low on his paint gun, and he just did, like, kind of like a silly string splatter design on it.
No
and
kid.
He did that just normal gloss black. So that kind of tied it into the rest of the whole rest of the bike being black. And then I could just, you know, do my rattle can thing with the rest of it and still have it look pretty respectable in the end.
Right.
So
right.
Your eyes going to that tank.
No. Yeah. Yeah, he does some good work too, man.
Yeah, he's cool, and I fucking love that guy. You know, he's like the most down to earth. Like, you know, I feel like that me and him could relate. You know, like, we are not anybody special. We have an Instagram account.
I think he just went out on his own, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Just opened up his own shop.
I would say 6 months ago he went out full time for paint. He got rid of his old job, and then he just moved to Buffalo, New York. So he's, like, in one of those little hard-to-chopper country hubs of the United States of where there's a bunch of awesome people in that community.
They do
and,
a killer show up there, too. There's a chopper show. I forgot the fucking name of it.
Spoken Dagger did, what was it called? Like, Iron... I don't know. I can't remember what it was.
Right.
I don't think they do it anymore. They do the Buffalo Shuffle.
That's what I'm thinking of. The Buffalo Shuffle, man.
Yeah,
that's a cool one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
Spoken Dagger Co. is up there.
Do you know Jeff Drew, Pelican Studios?
Yep. Oh, dude, I know
him. He's my boy, man.
Yeah, he's a good time. Yep, I met him at the Chopper Bash.
He's a wild cat, man.
He's a wild dude. His brother, Jay Drew, his Spoken Dagger Co.
His brother was at the Gypsy Run.
Yeah, he was.
I didn't know it was his brother at the time, though.
Yeah, big, long, black beard. He's cool, man.
Yep. Yeah, they almost look like twins.
Man. Yeah. Yep, them, Devil Chicken Designs up there, CT Newman, his camp's up there.
Yeah, CT Newman's up there.
Didn't Whiskey Eye Boogie up there?
Yeah, she stayed with him on her little cross-country trip. Dude, he's actually a Born Free invited builder this year.
Yeah, which is awesome.
I can't wait to see what he's going to turn out. Dude,
I can't even imagine. I know he's doing some crazy front end for it, which is going to be really
totally
wild.
Totally handmade. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude's on... like three different planets. He's,
literally another level.
Definitely, you know, not to suck him off or anything, but he definitely does fucking deserve the credit that he gets.
Yeah, he really
we'll
does.
Leave it at that.
Yeah,
he's a fucking animal.
Hey, who else inspired you, man? Like, speaking of high-end builders and everything else, like, who do you draw to for inspiration, and who really was, like, some of your big influences?
So my whole problem is that I don't really know, you know, like, I know the bikes
Okay.
And, like, I'm really bad. Like, I go to a lot of shows, and I see a lot of awesome bikes, and I take a million pictures of bikes. But what I really need to do this coming year is, like, make sure that I not only make sure I know who built the bike, but introduce, you know, myself to them. And, like, I want to meet the people who are doing this, you know, and, like, kind of start that conversation.
Yeah.
So, like, this year, I didn't really do that, and I definitely regret it. But, like, I want to make sure... that, like, if I love a bike, I gotta find out who made it. Because, like, even now, perfect example, went to Fuel Cleveland, seeing this purple shovel head that had a whole bunch of gold accents on it. It was such a badass bike. I literally turned around to somebody and I'm like, I think that's my new favorite bike. Didn't know who built it, and lo and behold, they're on the Low Life podcast this past week. And I'm like, oh, that's who that bike was. Can't even remember the name, dude. I'm such a fuck up. It's a love something cycles.
I think it's just Love Cycles.
Might just be Love Cycles.
That sounds. Oh shit! Look at this.
Dude, like a Yamaha DRZ.
That dude was getting it. Dude, he's wheeling really up the whole block, man.
Yeah, he's getting after it. Hope he doesn't run into those cops that just drove by.
No, dude, that's the coolest part. When you come to these events in New York City, this is for, like, the people in the outside area, or if you ever want to come to, like, the Indian Larry Block Party, Brooklyn Invitational don't go on anymore, or, like, even the Indian Larry Bike Nights in Times Square, like, Thursday night, I was just there, and when they know you're coming and there's a bike event, man, these cops are just as entertained when you start fucking shredding up the block, doing burnouts, and they don't give a fuck, dude. This whole block right now is lined with cops. The cops are parked along it, and they are just as entertained by this as we are. They don't give a fuck, man.
Because it's reality, they do have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? If this is the worst that's going to go down on one of these things, then, like, God bless you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is cool, you know? It's cool seeing the cops on some level cooperate, you know?
Yeah.
Especially, I've been to East Coast and twice and seeing how fucking crazy that gets.
Dude, nothing in the country matches East Coasting.
Dude, and
that's
it's
the
so...
sickest fucking show you could ever go to.
Yeah, and, like, it just kind of happened, you know? Like, it just kind of became a thing on this day, this weekend, and, you know, it's just everybody's out there nuking.
Yeah.
Like, this corner area of New Haven. It's like, what in the fuck? Like, how is this illegal? And it's not.
It's insane, dude. You come in from I-95 and it's an elevated highway. And the show is going on underneath, and you would think there's a fucking building fire.
Oh, yeah.
It's sick, dude.
It's insane. I've never seen anything like it. It's
there's nothing in the
lawless
country.
Yeah.
Total lawless. Even here, I mean, I shredded a big fucking two-gear burnout on my FXR when I came in. I mean, literally, in front of, like, a dozen cops, I fucking lit that thing up.
Hell yeah. Dude, that's the way it should be.
And later, I'm melting the fucking tire right off that bike.
Is it about time for a new one?
Yeah. Yeah, it's down to melt-off time.
We got a lot of bikes going on.
Burnouts, Rick? You pull that bike in the pit or what?
They're looking for you to move your bike.
Alright.
I didn't want to fucking move it. It's right next. It's like, they're trying to get out.
Like, right now? I gotta move that thing?
We already moved them, like, 20 minutes ago. But they were looking for you to move it.
Alright. Alright, guys. We're gonna take a break. I gotta move my bike, man. It's parked in a real fucking asshole spot. Which is, generally how I park in New York City. we'll catch you guys later. All right, man, we're back.
Hell yeah, man. A little relocation on that one.
Yeah, we relocated into actually a block away, right next to the block party still, in front of the world-famous Roots Studio, home of the old Brooklyn Invitational.
Yeah, it was so cool coming here last year. I came down here kind of, not by accident, but definitely not having an idea that it could potentially be the last one. And last year, Brooklyn Invitational was the week before Indian Larry. So I came down here. It was raining out. I drove down to this one, too. Went to Brooklyn Invitational. and then basically doubled back the next weekend and then made it down for Indian Larry.
Hell yeah.
And then me and K2 just kind of like came down and made like a day in the city out of it. So we kind of just boogied through, you know, said hi to some people and then kind of kept it moving.
How far out of the city are you? How far into Connecticut are you?
So I left at like 11 and I think I got here at like 12:30. But okay. I was kind of expecting to get here at like 1:30. But for some reason, the one time ever that you come down through New York, especially into Brooklyn, there's no traffic. It was like, oh shit, no, I'm just here super early.
Yeah.
But it was cool, you know, get some food early, you know, get some waters while they still have them and just kind of chill and hang out.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man.
But yeah, I definitely, the Brooklyn Invitational was so cool, you know, like especially me, who's like, at that time too, was still like, I didn't really know anybody. So taking pictures was like really what I was primarily here for.
Right.
And just that overcast with like all, you know, these exotic chops and, you know, everybody with their wild paint, or, you know, the water on the flat black paint looked really cool. And
hell yeah.
Man, I wish I didn't blow that phone up because I want all those pictures back.
Fuck, man. There's fucking traffic on this block for some fucking reason.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anyways,
New York, you know
what's something cool me and Rick were talking about on the way here, this walk back here after we relocated? Something cool we were talking about was being in the old Brooklyn Invitational, or going to any bike show for that matter. Like I was telling him, the last time I was at the Brooklyn Invitational, I parked right in front of the front door.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm going to go back and look at some pictures. And I was telling him how I had sent some pictures to some friends of mine from like 10 years ago. And I didn't even meet some of these guys until this year.
Yeah, like you come across people's bikes and I take a fuck ton of pictures, you know. Whoever comes with me to these events is like has to deal with me just walking around my phone out and my face in my phone, which it sucks, but like I usually do, I go around and I take like a huge round of pictures.
Yeah.
And then I'll go through, and this is something else that I've been trying to do really hard this year. It's like just go around without the phone and really just try to like absorb in people's builds, you know, because like there's so much detail. It's really hard to do at motorcycle shows because there's just so many, you know, talented bikes and builders there. It's really hard to like fully appreciate it in person.
Right.
So what I've been trying to do is just make sure to take like an extra couple laps around and just kind of like, you know, give them the time that they're due. But
yeah.
It's funny because like when you take all these pictures and stuff, you take a lot of pictures of people's bikes who you haven't met yet.
Right.
So it's funny when you get around to actually meeting somebody who, you know, you've been taking pictures of their bike forever. And it's like, yeah, dude, I have like, you know, like you're saying, like 10 years of bike pictures of your bike and, you know, like you from, God, 10 years ago would be, you know, 2009. So, like, imagine these people's bikes and builds, like, way back then and how drastically different they are.
Yeah. Dude, you know what I think we're going to do? I'm not even going to stop recording. We're going to,
just going to walk it out.
We're going to just walk it up to the end of this block, man. Because the way the traffic is sitting on this block is, like, we gotta fucking relocate. But anyways, yeah.
We have like stuck buses out here and everything.
This is like, what production value? You people should be fucking paying for this show. Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
This is just,
dude, there are a lot of bikes. And like another thing that I definitely stress, like when you come to events like this, is like the surrounding like 3 to 4 blocks are just packed with awesome bikes, you know? Even like, there's a whole row of street glides.
Our chances right here on the end. The boy Mike that just pulled up, and his friend, they're just on beautiful choppers. And there's everything from that to Fat Daddy fucking baggers, man.
Oh, dude, yeah, there's a couple, some big boys.
Dude, I can't believe how fucked we're getting with this traffic.
Yeah.
Let's just.
Ripping down the street and they have that thing wide open, it's like hell yeah. Like all I want to do is get my bike down here to start, you know, hammering. You know, as dangerous as that is, especially with how people drive, but man, it's awesome.
Dude, New York City is like some of the worst riding I'll
say that. If you're in a major city.
Yeah, hell
but
yeah.
But when you get a chance to just blast it open between the buildings and shit,
man, yeah.
It's fucking wild, dude. Yeah. It is. It's basically the best and the worst riding in the country.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's fucking fun as shit. Yeah. We got a sick view of Manhattan right now. We're walking on the west side of Brooklyn right now, man.
Yeah, I think that's probably like half the reason why it's so sketchy is because you don't, well, at least for me, like I don't really get to come down here.
Right.
So when I'm rolling through here, I'm looking at the views, not looking at the road, you know, not looking and paying attention to what I should be paying attention to.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like I'm like probably going to be pretty stoked that we have, you know, all these awesome, you know, the skyline and everything, and then I T-bone somebody or I get smoked because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man.
Yeah.
How many times have you been here?
To Brooklyn?
To the Indian Larry.
This would probably be my 12th year.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
I'm on number 3.
Yeah.
I can't believe 12 years, dude.
Yeah.
You had to see, here's AJ Farrick right here.
Who's that?
AJ Farrick.
Who's that?
He's a pretty cool guy. He's a Jersey guy.
Okay.
He's got Loctite's fucking shirt on right now.
Oh yeah, dude, look at that. Yo, we got a Loctite shirt in the wild right now on the streets of Brooklyn.
Yeah, and hanging out with that dude. We sat down and ate cheeseburgers together earlier.
No shit.
Yeah. So another cool thing, right? I sat down with him here, and he's like, "Yeah, man, I just started casting. I'm on Instagram. I see a whole bunch of people casting their own parts, and." He's like, I just wanted to try it. So he's like, I just built like a little simple setup, you know, so I could start casting my own, you know, carburetor covers, some timing points covers and stuff like that. And I really think that that's one of the coolest parts about it. It's just being able to watch other people do stuff and getting you motivated to try something that you normally wouldn't do.
Right.
You know, and like you could see other people you could, reach out and ask people questions, and you know, like I don't know a whole lot about anything, but you know, we have people reach out all the time, and I just try my best to, you know, either A, give them the best advice that I can possibly give, or at the very least, send them over to somebody who's a lot more knowledgeable about something, you know, that I don't fucking know anything about.
That is one thing I do love about, you know, I don't love much of the modern world, but one of the things I do like about the modern world is, Jesus Christ, dude, we just took a fucking long walk to get here.
Yeah, that was,
dude, the Indian Larry Block Party is, like, exploding right now.
Yeah.
You guys could hear it in the background. It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
This is probably the dumbest choice of how to do a podcast ever.
Hey, it's all right. We're in between Gem and Baker Street right now, so I think we're there's not a fucking soul to be seen on this street, so I think we're all right.
Yeah.
We're either gonna get nice peace and quiet, or we're gonna get killed. It's only going one way or the other.
Yeah, we definitely picked one of those streets where like everything is fucking closed up. Like,
I thought that was your bike that just went by. I was like, that's probably not good. But just like getting onto what we were just talking about like kind of getting out of your comfort zone a little bit, trying something new to you. How far do you get with your own builds? Like, what are you comfortable doing? You travel a fuck ton, so I imagine that you have to be pretty knowledgeable on like how to kind of figure out what's going on with your bike if something goes south on the road, you know? So.
Yeah,
like,
well,
where are you at?
Well, I'm pretty much like, okay, I don't want to say I'm like some fucking top level builder, but
no, but I'll you give obviously, you,
I'll
you
give
know
you
your
a background,
like
a background on me, is I've been a mechanic my whole life.
Okay.
I had a motorcycle shop. I've done car shops and I've worked for John Deere.
Okay.
I mean, full blown fabrication, man. I got my own frame jig.
Nice.
I mean, I'm there's no limits to what I do.
Yeah.
So that's a background like kind of quickie on me.
Yeah.
I don't really want to get much into me in a sense. Like the show's, you know. I don't think people want to hear the fucking host. But,
dude, yeah.
But
that's gonna interview you. You're the guy who's running this whole shit show.
I do.
Give me one more.
I do have an extensive mechanical background from TIG welding, MIG welding, brazing, stick welding.
I mean, just every phase of welding to metal shaping to you name it, man. Yeah. I'm actually giving Whiskey Eye one of my old English wheels.
Oh, really? One of your old English wheels.
Yeah, so like, well I'm not going to have one after I give that one to her, but the reason I'm giving that to her is I plan on building a wheel from scratch.
All right.
Once my new garage is set up, I plan on scratch building my own wheel.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
So yeah, but that's like my background, like full blown. I've built at least a dozen bikes from nothing.
Okay.
I have a very extensive background mechanically. From cars to bikes to
massive
fucking
help.
John Deere to race cars to you name it. Dude.
Yeah.
It's very extensive. So that like when you see me throwing a fucking bike together to run to Mexico and I fire it up literally 2 days before I leave for a 10,000-mile trip to Mexico.
Yeah.
I've done that before with bikes where I literally fire them up a day or two before and hit the road for a week or two.
Yeah.
You know? I don't recommend that to even myself. I don't recommend that to, but it happens. And at this point, I've done it with enough bikes where I don't even give a fuck. I'm not afraid of the road anymore.
You have enough faith of like how much, like, you know, that something catastrophic is less likely to happen. You know, like, probably I would have to say if you had either the hugest balls to do that, like, you know that, you know, you're not going to have, like, a piston coming out of this thing. That, you know, something weird might happen, you know, but it's not going to be anything that you can't handle.
Right. And like, so here's the deal. No matter how old or new a bike is, when you hit the road, it's going to go one of two ways.
Yeah.
You're either going to get held up somewhere for, like, a day or two or a half a day or a few hours trying to rectify whatever problem it pops up that you need some minor parts for, or it's going to be a quick roadside fix, or it's going to be a complete fucking explosion. And that complete explosion, a complete let go of parts, is something you cannot control regardless, whether that's a seasoned bike or a brand new build.
It's just the way she goes.
Like, you basically just gotta have the balls to say, fuck it, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Go with the tools you're comfortable with, you know, and just go for it, man. Like, nowadays, with smartphones and shit, it's like, it's really not that fucking risky.
Yeah, like, you could just call up AAA, or you could, just throw it out on the, you know, the airwaves that, hey, I have a problem. And, you know, this community is really
Instagram
good about helping, you know, people out. And
dude, this community will give you the shirt off their fucking backs.
Yeah.
The motorcycle world. So there's two worlds. I didn't even introduce this one to this podcast yet, but I'll dip into it real quick.
Uh-huh.
There's two worlds that I exist in.
Uh-huh.
And one is the motorcycle scene, and the other is hunting.
Okay.
And the outdoors.
Yeah.
Those two communities, those two worlds are, in my opinion, just the most kind, accepting, giving. I mean, those fucking two worlds, man, they will literally give you the shirt off their back and invite you to fucking Thanksgiving dinner with their families.
Yeah.
Literally. And I've done that in both these worlds, man. It's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to keep that in mind, man. When you hit the road and your motorcycle breaks down, dude, I've exploded bikes. I exploded that FXR in North Carolina one time.
Yeah.
And had to go on a road trip the next weekend, and my fucking friend just gave me his bike.
Damn.
And that same friend, I've lent my bikes out to him. That same friend, he just came back from a cross-country trip.
Yeah.
I gave him all my old luggage.
Damn.
And he's been using that luggage for like fucking 5-6 years now.
That's
and
awesome.
That luggage on his bike has gone cross-country a few times.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, you know, I saw that he needed it, and like, you know, every road trip he went on, he kept asking me for it. I was like, you know what, dude? Keep it.
Yeah.
You know, I got so much other fucking luggage and shit like that. It's like, dude, that's just, and that's how this motorcycle world should be, man. I've given parts away, and, you know, and people give me parts, and,
dude,
you know, you got to buy a lot
of
it too.
But people's bikes for free, you know, especially younger people who, like, you know, aren't as comfortable, like, ripping their car apart or something. Like, I've done that out of nauseam at this point. So, like, yeah, absolutely. I could do that for you, you know?
And that's really what builds the strength of this whole scene, man.
Yeah.
This whole motorcycle world.
I think, you know, there's a lot to be said about paying it forward, you know?
No
doubt. At least, you know, maybe other people see you paying it forward, so they'd be more inclined to help you in the future. And
no doubt.
You know, like, you... if you're going to reap the benefit, you definitely have to be able to, you know, give it to. So, you know, like Fat Man came to town the other weekend, and it was late, and I was at home already. But, you know, like, I just threw it out there. I'm like, hey, man, I heard you're broke down in our area. Is there anything I could do for you, you know?
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's not exactly the thing that you want to do on, like, a Thursday night when you got to go to work in the morning. But, dude,
yeah,
you can't, you know, no man left behind in the motorcycle. At least that's how I feel about it, you know? Some people feel a little differently, but I'm not going to leave somebody that I'm friends with hanging like that.
No, you can't, man. It is what it is. It's almost like an unspoken code, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You build piece of shit bikes, I build piece of shit bikes. You know, are you going to help me when I need to help you?
Right. I know my pile of shit's going to break down one day.
Yeah, dude, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. That is one thing that I will admit, though. I am, I don't know how to word this, but I'm kind of like, I don't have much tolerance, though, for certain things. Like, I'm just, oh, God, man. We really lucked out the first, the first 40 minutes of this show, we fucking lucked out.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Brooklyn is exploding right now, but I mean, one thing I don't have a tolerance for is when you see people running certain bikes.
Yeah.
That are just such piles of shit.
Yeah.
That they could have avoided certain mechanical breakdowns.
Yeah.
Or like, dude, don't show up to a fucking road trip with tires that are fucking practically showing treads.
Yeah.
And you know we're going on a fucking 2,000 mile road trip.
Yeah.
Like, those are things like
negligence.
Even total negligence.
Yeah.
Even amateurs don't have to neglect their bike.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you should fucking know. You should fucking know to throw some new tires and maybe some brakes. Or like simple fucking mechanical things that even amateurs can avoid.
Yeah.
What I will give you the shirt off my back for is, like, if I know you're in a jam and it's like, fuck, dude,
yeah,
he's in a jam.
Yeah.
But if it's something you could have avoided, I'm just like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, dude, that fucking tire should have been replaced 2,000 miles ago.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah, that was your fault on that one.
Right, right.
But, yeah, it's kind of like, so, like we said earlier, I have not really ridden far. You know, like, I'm just, like, still kind of, like, new to motorcycles. I change my bike every 2 weeks, so, like, I never get comfortable on it.
Yep.
You know, I never really, like, take a long haul to, like, really, like, you know, get that comfortability level there. And this year was the first year where I actually, like, rode somewhere, and I booked it out for the 4 hours to the Gypsy Run, which is so funny because I was so paranoid that, like, my twin cam, which is, like, supposed to be super reliable, I'm, like, freaking out. I'm like, there's no way it's going to make it, you know? But it made it just fine. It's just that, like, I don't know. I had to get over that level of paranoia that, like, I was going to totally be stranded.
Yep.
But even that, you know, like, I brought, like, 20 pounds worth of tools that were weighing me down. But, like, I brought all kinds of stuff.
This is real amateur hour. The host of the show did not even turn his fucking ringer off. Oh, my God. Yeah, and that's funny, too. When you start road tripping, you start bringing things that you just, like, you're so unnecessary.
Yeah.
You bring so much more shit than you need.
Yeah, especially, I imagine, on, like, the first couple ones.
Oh, yeah. I'm guilty of it. No doubt, man.
And then there's some times where you don't bring anything that you're supposed to bring. Like,
we went
to the Gypsy Run, and I brought one single Mexican blanket, and I brought an even thinner blanket.
Dude,
and
it got cold that night.
I'm like, yeah, I'm straight, you know? Like, I'm going to be warm all night. I got two blankets. I was originally only going to bring one, and then I used one as a backrest, so I, like, snuck it on there.
Yup.
And, man, I, like, it was cold when I went to sleep. And then I woke up once, and it was colder. I woke up a second time. It was even colder than that. So I'm like, all right, I have to put my flannel overalls back on. So I threw the overalls on, woke up again, and it was, like, fucking cold. And I'm like, man, I rookied out on this so hard. And then the last time I woke up, it was light out. So I was like, all right, well, I'm just getting up now at this point.
Yeah.
But it was cold. Everything was damp. You know, I had to ride home, like, the extra 4 hours, which, you know, it's a drop in the bucket for literally everybody else.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like this mission from God that, like, I got to do is I got to make it home, you know? But, yeah, it was like, you know, the ride was great. It was nice out. It didn't rain. It was a little cold. It was pretty uneventful. Riding up and down like Bear Mountain and stuff with no front brake wasn't as big of a deal as I thought it was, you know. And I mean, I'm like, yeah, you know, like I don't have a front brake, but you know, most people who do that are running like a drum.
Yeah.
I still have like a disc from 2002, so like that shit's working, you know.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Dude, I rode up with Tim Vander.
Yeah.
He's on a fucking, I want to say his bike is 49. It's a 49.
He's got a panhead, right?
Yeah, yeah. Panhead fucking juice drum only in the rear.
Yeah.
And dude, we were carving those fucking mountain roads.
Yeah.
Like nobody's business, dude. He could fucking ride that bike.
I fucking imagine.
Yeah. That thing is set up. But yeah, dude, those country roads, no front brake, you're fine.
Yeah,
man.
You're totally good. You know, especially when we were like out on like these huge straights in fucking New York, you know, it was like there's yeah. nothing to be worried about on any level. You know, we're just boogieing and it's weird because like I live right next to an airport. So like I live on one side of the airport, it's the airport, and then it's like town.
Okay.
So when I go around that runway, we get hit with like a huge cross breeze and I'm never ready for it and it's in a turn. So like I'm always like, how the fuck do these people ride these bikes across country with long like and long, you know, six over front end? And like how do they handle that wind? And it's like, it's just such an awkward thing when you're actually out on the road. It's like, oh, this isn't really a big fucking deal.
No,
you know,
it's not.
Like, I'm over here like one hand on the bars, you know, just kind of like cruising at an unknown speed because we don't have speedometers.
Right, right.
But I'm like, yeah, we're moving pretty good and I'm completely fine. You know, like I've been a huge puss for like the last year and it's all my fault.
Dude, I hope maybe one of your bigger road trips, man, we should do a road trip together.
Dude, I would
like
love
first trip, man. I'll give you some advice and shit. We'll do a fucking road show with it.
Yeah, man, I would be super down. The only thing that we'd have to do before that is like get me from going like 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I gotta work my way up to like at least 90 so everybody doesn't start getting pissed.
yeah, yeah.
But I'm
if you could roll 70 to 80, we're good.
Yeah.
As long as you could roll 70 to 80, we're good.
Yeah.
Dude, speaking of dangerous on the road, let's talk about the most dangerous fucking part of the Gypsy Run.
Uh-huh.
Is when they fucking strapped a kayak to the back of my bike and you sat in it.
Oh, dude, yeah. All right, so I was getting a tattoo when the Chopper Games signed up.
Right.
So my buddy was over by the table, and I'm like, sign me up for everything that I could, you know, like, I don't have a Kickstarter. Like, if I could be in it, sign me up.
Right.
So he signed me up for the mini bikes. Me and you race mini bikes together, which is a fucking blast.
Yeah.
You know?
I could have done that all day.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I grew up on mini bikes, so I was amped. So, we ripped those things around. We did a couple hot laps on that. That was awesome.
Yep.
And then I'm like, man, you know, like, I wish that went longer. You know, like, I want to do something else. And I'm like, where's Rob? Like, I'm going to go find him, and we're going to do this fucking kayak. And I'm not running my bike, but he'll definitely pull me. So I seen you with a huge smile on, like, across the crowd of people. And I'm like, it's fucking on, you know? And you got over it, and I was like, say no more, fam. You know, I'm going to get my helmet, and we're fucking doing this.
Fuck yeah. That was the funnest fucking thing.
Dude, and it wasn't even, like, that big of a deal. And, like, it wasn't nearly as epic as, like, the pictures portrayed.
No.
It was still, like, a blast.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you can't go wrong when you just want to, like, take some retarded bikes.
Oh, yeah.
And try and drag a fucking kayak across a grass field.
Dude, it's hard. It's harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and even as a bike rider, dude, when you try and turn around that oval track, the fucking kayak just wants to rip you to the ground.
Yeah, dude, I seen you when I was just sitting in it flat, and you were in front of me, and you were spinning tire, like, just giving it gas, and, like, the thing just wouldn't pull it, you know? We had no traction.
Nothing.
Yeah, it was,
there was that Fat Bob that pulling the other kayak. That guy went down, like, 8 times.
Oh, yeah, man.
He couldn't keep that thing up
at
all.
Oh, yeah, that was a dyno with, like, a full fucking FXRP
fairing. Yup.
Man, that was a nice bike.
It was a beautiful bike, man. He fucking destroyed it in that kayak.
Yeah, that's Bonneville Bill.
No shit.
Yeah, he has a Triumph Stinky Pink that I seen here last year.
No shit.
And,
it's called Stinky Pinky?
It's called Stinky Pinky, dude. And it's everything that you think it is.
Dude, I got a shocker tattoo.
Really?
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, fuck. Dude, it looks like a Jesus, like something like, that you'd see with
it's like a Jesus hand.
Yeah, with like the sun behind it.
Yep. Yeah, we were
the
in
the last one.
Dude, I'll tell you a funny story about that tattoo. Me and my best friend Paul, man, when he was in the Marines, I used to visit him out in California a lot.
Okay.
So we were on we were in Pacific Beach. And we were fucking plastered, dude.
Yeah.
I got kicked out of this fucking club for pissing on a dude's shoes. And then, I'm sorry. I puked on a guy's shoes at the bar, like these fancy fucking shoes, right? Uh-huh. And Paul's like the 6'7", fucking tall as shit Marine.
Yeah.
In the fucking craziest shape of his life.
Yeah, not playing games.
And the dude's
games.
Like, you just fucking puked on, like, they were like $400. I don't even know what kind of shoes. Yeah. Paul's like, you shouldn't have fucking been wearing them. So I'm like,
were they like dress shoes?
Yeah, they were like dressy shoes. We didn't fit into this place. Yeah.
Somebody went and like their mom stood in line for 8 hours and they somehow pulled off with these shoes.
Yes, and this guy was like, he thought he was styling that night, you know?
Yeah.
Until our dirty asses puked on him.
Yeah.
But,
dude,
so,
I
was like, dude, I'm going to the bathroom, right? And while I was pissing, the bouncer fucking comes in the bathroom and was like, you gotta go, right? And I was like, fuck, hold on. Like, Paul sees, like, the bouncer going there. He knew he was coming for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, man, I'm going. And I'm, like, kind of walking out the door. I don't remember what I was saying to the bouncer, but he wasn't happy about it.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, and he, like, goes to, like, throw me the fuck out of this place.
Yeah.
Paul fucking steps in front of him. This dude is like, he's even bigger than Paul, but Paul's in way better fucking shape. He's a fucking Marine.
Yeah.
And Paul grabs his fucking, like, you know, the bouncer clipboards, you know, like, you're not allowed in here.
Yeah.
Like, Paul grabs the fucking clipboard out of his hand and throws it in the fucking garbage can.
Oh, man.
And was like, I don't think so, dude. And he was like, we'll leave, but you ain't fucking pushing us out of here.
Yeah.
And so we left or whatever. There's some more bunnies. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. We're like a quarter mile away from where we were, and there's more bunnies walking
those
around.
Those bunnies look significantly worse than the bunnies we've seen before.
So. Yeah, those look like transgender bunnies.
Those look like those other bunnies' moms.
Those other bunnies, yes.
Other bunnies. Some old, washed-up fucking bunnies.
Yeah. Anyways. Oh, so the story of this tattoo.
Yeah.
After we got kicked out of there, plastered as fuck.
Yeah.
Me and Paul got these matching tattoos.
Dude. Really?
So yeah, he's got one too.
Like fully shit faced like that.
Fully
night you got
I'll tell
him?
You how shit faced. I passed out in the tattoo chair.
Oh my god.
That's how shit faced we were.
That's so great.
I don't remember a lick of it, but I got pictures of Paul getting his tattoo in the tattoo shop.
Just, like, waking up, like, why is my fucking arm hurt so bad?
Dude, he took a picture of me in the hotel room. I literally woke up. I was like, what the fuck happened?
Dude.
Literally did not remember getting that tattoo.
I mean, it's not really in, like, a hard-to-get tattoo spot, but, I mean, if you were going to get a really shitty tattoo, like, somewhere, like, on your elbow or some bullshit, that's the way to do it. Just pass out in the chair and just let them hit at you.
Yep, tattoo that sucker right on Main Street.
Hopefully nothing weird happens.
Yep. I mean, I was in good company. I knew no one would fuck with me.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, man. Back to, like, that little thing, you know? Like, I don't give a fuck about my appearance, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, these shoes I bought at, like, the fucking, at, like, Savers. You know, I burned holes in them on my exhaust and, like, welding. And, like, I just fuck all my clothes up. So, like, there's no point in me having, like, really nice clothes. Like, my shoelaces are so fried from the angle grinder that I've literally just been pulling them apart sitting here, like, nervously twitching through this podcast.
Yeah, for you guys, like, so Rick's wearing a set of, like, classic black and white Converse, right?
Just completely fucked.
The right one. The right one literally has, like, four lace loops just on the top because the bottom is just burnt out. Dude.
Yeah, there's
like
it's probably time for a new pair of shoes.
Yeah, even by dirtbag standards, Rick needs new shoes.
Yeah. I'm gonna start a GoFundMe.
Yeah, these are pretty fresh boots. I bought them right before I left for Mexico, but you could see the exhaust is already starting to take hold on the inside here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be pretty careful though, man.
Yeah.
You know, you got some melted soles here.
Yeah.
The backside, the belt drive's starting to chew up the backside a little here.
Yeah. But, dude, there is something about, like, just being, like, with clothing, I feel like, on the bike. You know, like, I love riding in these sneakers, but, like, that's just because my toe shifter's set up for them.
Yeah.
So, like, if I wear boots on my bike and try to shift, like, these flat clown shoes, you know, fit under there, whereas like the boots don't, and then it's like super hard to fucking ride it.
But, yeah.
Like when it's cold out, like I'll throw on some fucking like wool socks or something, you know, just so I have like that extra. I don't have any weight on me. I'm all like height, you know, so like I get fucking cold, you know, like I'm such a pussy about some things. Like I'll be the first person to admit it, but like I'll wear extra layers. Like, I'm not going to be fucking
that's,
cold.
That's all lies. Rick Chopper is fuck.
Yeah. No, I just like being comfortable, you know? I don't want to be stuck out there in the rain and be freezing my fucking balls off super far away from where we're stopping. Or...
Dude, I'm a total fucking pussy when it comes to being cold or wet.
Yeah.
So, like, my advice, like you were saying, how you underpacked for the gypsy run.
Yeah.
If I leave the house with nothing, like bare minimal, which I will do on Chopper sometimes. Like,
yeah.
When you just don't have room and it's like bare minimal, my two pieces of advice for people. Bring warm clothing, like a good warm base layer.
Yeah.
You could wear those as pajamas or whatever. And your rain gear.
Okay.
If you bring nothing except a couple pairs of socks,
yeah,
your rain gear, and a good warm base layer and like a hoodie sweatshirt.
Yeah.
That's literally all you need.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can more or less hit the road and like buy shit at Walmart or something. Yeah. You know?
Dude, just buy like $15 fucking jeans.
Yeah.
You know, like,
dude, I've done that. Yeah, and you just throw them out.
Throw your old ones away.
Yep. So, like, another good thing I want to do, I want to leave, like, to show people, like, you don't need much to go on the road.
Yeah.
I want to show people, I want to leave the house one day.
Yeah.
With nothing.
Uh-huh.
Streets. Oh, look at that hot rod, dude. Holy shit. That thing looks like a Hot Wheels car.
Yeah.
56 Vet behind it.
Yeah, they were huge. Like one of those, like probably 20s or 22s at least.
Yeah.
They were big.
That was sweet.
They were filling that move up.
Yeah. But oh, so one of the things I want to do, I want to leave for a road trip with nothing.
Yeah.
And just live out of Walmarts and gas stations. Like when
dude.
You need something, you know, or maybe like just bring the tent.
Yeah.
And a sleeping bag.
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah,
like, depending on the road trip.
To start.
Yeah, like, depending on the road trip. Like, if it's a hotel road trip, literally leave with nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, on principle, don't even leave with a fucking toothbrush, even though you know you're going to need one. Be like, fuck it, dude. Day one, we're going to Walmart, and we're going to get some essentials.
Yeah.
And then, as you need shit, you just buy more shit.
Yeah. You know?
And just the backpack.
Don't buy expensive shit because it's gonna be all covered in bugs. It's gonna be fucked up.
You destroy shit on the
road. You just wanna like peel that bullshit clothes off and just throw them right away.
Yeah. You really, everything gets trashed on the road.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't remember if it was Danger Dan or my friend Vlardy. He's in somewhere in New Mexico. I don't know.
Okay.
Rio Doso.
Uh-huh.
You could hit him up on Instagram, the Rio Doso kid.
Okay.
He's fucking, that kid rides like a motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
Sick. But, dude, I don't remember if it was him or Danger Dan. They say they just fucking buy a brand new pack of socks whenever they're on the road.
Uh-huh.
And every day they just throw out the old ones.
Dude, that's like my
and just
like
keep
life
fresh
goal. Like, I don't ever want to wear the same socks twice. Like,
right.
If there was like
I think
some
rappers
splurge
do that.
Thing.
Dude, don't rappers do that
white
with shirts?
Tees.
White
dude,
tees.
White tees.
Yo, really?
Man, I haven't ironed a white tee since like 2006.
That's a sick burnout going on in the
dude,
background. You hear that?
That thing fucking pinned.
Someone is riding home on belts, dude.
Yeah. Dude, I imagine it's the fucking East Coasting dudes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They fucking just love nuking them.
Dude, we're probably dropping the ball here. We're way too long into this. We should actually go and be a part of this party.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say we wrap this up. And,
I'd agree. I'm a little parched.
Yeah, I need some water.
Yeah.
Guys, I got news for you. You're gonna hear a lot more from Chicken Rick, man. We're gonna probably do like a starter kit road trip. I really do want to drag him on the road, like
it
just for a weekend or something.
Because like you have like somebody who's extremely experienced who knows the in and outs and everything. And then you have somebody who couldn't have less of a clue on how to survive outside of a Hampton Inn.
Right.
So, definitely, you know, if there is going to be anybody to jump me into this whole thing, I'm definitely psyched it's you.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't imagine like more of like a fun and outgoing person And yeah, definitely really excited that we met and to see what we go forward doing.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. We look forward to the future, man. We'll see you guys later. Yo, actually, before we go, Rick, tell them where to find you at.
You can find me at Chicken Fried Choppers. On Instagram, it's chicken_fried_choppers. You're going to see a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, it's probably going to make you a lot dumber. You know, it's no, I'm just kidding. But
it's entertaining, you know, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
that.
there's some shit that goes down on it. It's a lot of fun. You know, I try to keep it as honest as possible, and you know, it's a blast. Or you could check out some of the stuff that we have on at chopshit.com and support those people who support us.
Yeah, chopshit.com.
That'd be awesome. Hell appreciate yeah. that.
All right, man. Chopshit.com. Chicken right, Rick, man. Thank you so much for your time, man. Yeah, let's go, dude. Fucking rip it up.
Absolutely. Tattooed up in bloodshot eyes.